Is there any, and it just happened to be the next question, but is there a role left for the UUP? And if there is, what is that role?
Well, you know, I think that there's obviously a view within unionism that wants to have diversity and wants to have the offer of variety. And to that extent, I don't seek to deny anybody the opportunity to vote for a candidate who has whatever the particular attributes that the Ulster Unionists may have.
It's hard to say that with a straight face, I noticed.
So, you know, I don't deny that possibility is. The one thing I'm certain is that the Ulster Unionist Party is past the phase where it will be seen as the voice of unionism in Northern Ireland. It will not be able to provide the kind of strong unionist bloc that is needed to be able to deal with the Republican agenda. And, you know, within unionism, we will work with the Ulster Unionist Party and indeed with any other unionist party to further unionist ideals. But the system that we have, and I'm sure we'll come back to the kind of system that we have, but the system that we have at the moment requires us to be able to have a large unionist presence in order to be sure that we have the maximum number of seats in the executive and we hold the First Minister's office.
Is there a section of unionism which you don't think you can get? I mean, a section of unionism which for some reason will only vote UUP. It's almost residual inside somewhere. It can't vote DUP. And is that true of wider? I mean, how much further in terms of growth and electoral growth, how much further can the DUP go? Who does it reach out to?
Well, I would have thought that if you'd been asking me this question maybe 10 years ago, you wouldn't have assumed that we could have been able to get the centre ground of unionism to the extent that we have. And as the party is seen to become the party of government, the establishment party, a more mature party because of the government experience that it has, I think it will continue to grow and be attractive to the centre ground of unionism. You know, I can't tell you what the future will be. I think if I was looking into the future, I would have thought that we will be able to hold the centre ground of unionism, and we will certainly be making a concerted effort to work to ensure that we have a larger section of the working class unionist vote than we have at the present time.
Looking back just you personally now, is there any moment you look back in?
This is where I have to yawn, show the tired and the weary self.
No. Just in terms of you know, any mistake, anything you can look back on, where you think you reacted too slowly, your party reacted too slowly, or you knee-jerked too quickly, or you completely misread the mood of politics or other parties. Any moment you think, and you say, if I could rewrite, go back to that moment and change a crucial decision. I think it can be a personal political term to unionism generally. Is there a moment when you think unionism got completely and utterly wrong?
Displaying a lack of honesty on the part of any politician if they look back over the years and couldn't see something that they should have done differently. And, you know, everybody has made mistakes within the process. However, I do think that one of the biggest mistakes I would make would be in telling you which one they were.
I'll fill in the blanks there. I'll leave that in the tape. I think I wrote recently, I got the sense, and maybe it's just me saying, I know you say you still enjoy politics, you still have a passion for politics. I detect occasionally you don't. I sometimes think that, you know, you think 35, 40 years to get here, locked at the hip, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, but locked at the hip for someone like Martin McGuinness. There must be moments you think, was this what it's all about? Was it really worth it from where I was and the beliefs I had and the passions I had and the convictions I had to find myself 40 years down the line with me as First Minister and Martin McGuinness as my deputy? I mean, do you sort of think, was it really, really, really worth it all?
Well, you know, I don't hold back from saying that if I was writing the script, it would have been something different than it is at the present time. But I said to you earlier that I was a pragmatic politician, so politics is about dealing with the circumstances as they are. And you shouldn't attack from me anything in terms of me being fed up with politics per se. I would admit to being very fed up at times with the processes around politics, the difficulty in getting decisions taken, the frustrations of coalitions more generally. I'm someone who, as soon as I have an idea that I think is worthwhile, I want to see it implemented. In the world that I live in at the moment, you know, there's a long, long process that you have to go through before you can get something out the other end, and that's very frustrating.
How would you like, sort of these fatalistic questions, how would you like to be remembered? So don't drop dead right now, but I just mean in terms, you know, because you come to stage, you're at that stage in your political career when you must be thinking of a legacy, you must be looking back and, you know, looking at where Northern Ireland was, where you were, where you are now, where Northern Ireland is, where unionism is. You're now the top dog in unionism. In one sense, when you won, in you talked about your election 2011, the assembly election, when you came back with more seats than ever before, the DUP probably stronger than it's ever been. A unionist party maybe stronger than it's ever been in 50, 60 years.
Well, you know, when I get these sort of questions, I mean, I tried to address it, I'm not sure whether it was last year's conference or the conference before that, by indicating that, you know, when I stand down from politics, isn't so much governed by the calendar, it's governed by the progress that we make on certain issues. There are certain things I want to see happening and I hope can happen while I'm still in leadership of the party. From the point of view of the union, I want to see the union much more strongly cemented. And that means cemented with support right across the community. I think we're making good progress on that. But I think the union community has to recognise that they need to be marketing the union on a basis that makes it attractive to those outside of the Protestant community. And I think that's something that we've all got a lot of work to do in the months and years ahead. In terms of Northern Ireland, again, there are reforms that are still needed within the process. I want to ensure that we do have stable political structures. And you know, whenever I came into office, the papers were all writing up you know, articles on a daily, weekly basis about how long the assembly might survive. You know, if you put yourself back in those
I wrote some of them. I know that. Yes,
it was very considerable doubt. And, you know. They were justified in writing them, in my view, at that stage, that you know, there are all sorts of difficulties that were being faced. Nobody's talking about that now. Everybody recognises the Assembly is here, and while we will undoubtedly have problems in the future, none of them are seen to be so insurmountable that they're going to bring the structures down. But again, I would like to see further reform. I'd like the issue of opposition dealt with. There are a number of aspects of the Assembly's role that need to be improved, and of course the party. I want the party to be in good, if not better, shape than it is at the present time for such a handover. You know, some of those blogs you're talking about, you know, talk about you know, as if we're somehow hanging on to office and power as something that's hugely desirable and self-fulfilling. The reality, of course, is that it's pretty hard work. There are a lot of easier things in life to be doing. And, you know, I look for the moment when those three issues are in a line that makes it easy to hand over. But it's very much governed by the progress that's made in those areas, as to, because those are the issues that I would want at the end of it to be able to say the union's in a stronger place, Northern Ireland's more stable, and the party's better than it's ever been.
So you think you think Northern Ireland is in a better place, and that unionism is stronger because of what you have done, because of your, not maybe not just your contribution alone, but some very specific contributions you have made?
Well, I certainly wouldn't be indicating my contribution alone. There's been a vast number of people who have been involved in the process that's brought us to where we are at the present time. But in terms of when I stand down and how I will look at the contribution, it's whether we have reached the stage where there is a high level of stability on all three fronts.
But just one final question. We're just assuming that you will step down at some stage, you know, obviously. And you still, I mean, when I said about, you know, the passion for politics, I was more addressing Northern Ireland. What, you know, assuming, I presume you will go to the House of Lords, are there any great political issues, national or international issues, you know, that once you're freed from local politics, you would like to get involved in, you'd like to champion?
Well, you know, the cause is still going to be Northern Ireland, the cause is still going to be the union.
Even if it's safe?
Well, you'll always want to. I mean, safe doesn't mean that the issue can be forgotten about.
Do you think it'll ever be safe? So it's a separate question. But what do you think?
There will always be people who want to change the status of Northern Ireland, and therefore the safety of the union is an ongoing process. But you know, we have grown support for the union very significantly over the last number of years. Undoubtedly, grown support for the union. Or at least grown support for the union and a contentment of living within the union, because the two aren't exactly the same, to levels which I think in anybody's book would indicate that the union is safe. However, there is still work to be done to consolidate that and to strengthen it, and that will be an ongoing job. In terms of the House of Lords, you know, I'm not sure whether maybe I might try my hand at something other than politics.
Really? Well, away from politics, what would you do? I mean, if you've suddenly retired, stood down, then what would you really like to do?
Well, I remember there was a lot of talk about, you know, what the salaries of assembly members and so forth were. I did make the comment once that on two occasions over the last number of years I've been given offers to go into the private business at a significantly more lucrative salary than I'm getting at the present time. So for me, politics isn't about money. I would get much more money if I was out of politics. I can't see my retirement being one where I sit with a blanket over my knees and watch cricket on television. Enjoyable though that might be, I'd still want to be involved in projects and doing something that keeps my mind active, whether that's business or whether it's being political commentator for the newsletter. I don't know.
No, I don't. You don't care about money, just go there then.
However, you know, who knows what the future holds. I mean, the one thing none of us can say is how long we're going to live.
Okay, I'm good. I haven't said that was the last question. Just one very quick, because it just came to my mind there. Basil and John launching their new party on Thursday. I think, is there a need for yet another party? Is there a need for what they claim to be offering, which is some new pluralist moderate? Are you not already on that ground?
I don't think that they're offering any product that's unique. Therefore, it's going to be very difficult for them to carve out a market for themselves. You know, there are elements of their programme that might be more closely attuned to what the Alliance Party is offering, some which are not that different from what the Ulster Unionist Party are offering, and other elements which are not much different from what we're offering. Put it this way, if they were to never stand for election again, their voters wouldn't be left without choice. So I think that there's a very narrow part of the market that they're trying to get. And again, it goes back to the Ulster Unionist Party issue that you asked me earlier. There's a difference between having an individual who is capable of having a high profile and therefore being able to garner a vote for themselves, and having a political party that across Northern Ireland can gather votes. I mean, if you look at the Ulster Unionist Party, I guarantee you, if you went out onto the streets, people would have great difficulty in thinking of more than half a dozen people who are in the Ulster Unionist Party at an elected representative level. And we do need to base any political party about having identifiable talent, and effectively the Democratic Unionist Party has sucked all of them in. Whether they've sucked them in from the Ulster Unionist Party, the Conservatives, or wherever else, you'll find them in the ranks of the DUP. So we have an offering that goes well beyond what any other political party can provide.
Just this is a final one. Just sort of kid, a really final. Enoch Powell once told me that you, and this might have been 1979, 1980, that you had the most strategic brain in unionism in Northern Ireland. And I just went, do you think, you know, could the DUP, and actually I agree with them, and I've written that before, do you think the DUP could have become what it's become, could have become that pragmatic vehicle which is willing to be flexible when it needs to be flexible, had it not been for you? Is that maybe your greatest contribution to the DUP? It's the fact that you, and how you saw things, and how you mapped things out, made the difference. Well, Ian was certainly the big voice and the big name, and the person who could maybe attract, you know, the media attention. Deep down, it was you. It was your planning and strategy that made the key difference.
Well, it always simplifies the issues, I think, to put down changes that take place to any one person. The reality in a political party is very different from that, because no individual on their own can do anything in a political party. It requires there to be a wide range of people who want to move in the same direction. So while it's simplistic, and maybe necessarily so for the wider public, the reality is that there's always been a broad section of the party who have been wanting to make progress, and will continue to want to do that. As far as strategy, I think one of the issues that probably has attended most of my political life is that when you're dealing with an issue, you don't just deal with it in terms of how it will enter today's market. You look and try and see how that will affect you as you go down the road. And I think in politics there are far too many people who deal with problems in order to look at them, how it affects them today. I think that's a big mistake. I see it being made over and over again in the Assembly, something that's immediately popular to do without thinking of the consequences of it. And I think that it does require perhaps a bit further foresight on the part of politicians if they aren't to get themselves into great difficulties in the years ahead, if they start thinking about what are the long-term consequences of the decisions that we're taking.
Thank you very much.